I'm always talking about the weather, and especially in light of the fact that I'm going to be talking with David Dolan right now. We catch him either on the beach someplace or on a snow-covered mountain peak out in Idaho. Where do we catch you today, David Dolan?
Jimmy, I'm actually on the other side of the world, in the other hemisphere. I'm down in Australia, here in Sydney, Australia. I've been here for a week and doing meetings in various parts of the country here for several weeks.
Now, that's then summertime over there, is that correct?
It is, but they're having the remnants of a hurricane that passed through northern Australia have moved south. And I tell you what, I've been here 8 days. It's been raining every day, almost torrential rains at times. In fact, they're having some flooding, very unusual for Australia in the summertime. But the farmers inland are getting the rain as well, and they're rejoicing because this is, of course, a semi-arid country. The inland doesn't usually get much rain at all, so they're happy about it. But the people here on the coast, and I have to say myself, I wouldn't mind seeing a beach here, but they're all washed out.
Well, I'm sure that the possibility for that will probably happen within a couple of days. I understand, and we were talking during the break, that you had an opportunity to be able to speak at the Parliament, not to all the parliamentarians, but there was one particular member of the Australian Parliament, and he invited you, and you had a special session there.
That's right. Actually, Jimmy, I was invited by the chaplain of the New South Wales Parliament, who is a born-again believer. I've met him before, and he does sometimes sponsor meetings in the Parliament, but one of the leading opposition parliament members, in fact, he's the deputy leader of the main party, hosted me as well, introduced me, and was there listening very closely. And they, according to the polls here, there's going to be elections soon. They will return to power soon. And he was listening, and we have the leaders of many Christian ministries here in Australia, in Sydney, and some of the Jewish leaders in the community were there, and just many people. And it was a great opportunity to share with the good folks down here and to bring a message from Jerusalem, as it were, to them.
Well, praise the Lord for that opportunity for you, David, and God's mercies upon you as you travel in these conference ministries. But let's get to the task at hand. You're sharing the news with those down under in Australia. What about sharing with us what your thoughts are? For example, what about the president of Italy, Berlusconi? He goes into Israel. He addresses the Israeli Knesset, and he says that his greatest dream is to see that Israel would be a member state of the European Union. Wow, what do you think about that?
Well, he is a longtime friend of Israel. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Jimmy, it's the first time in many, many years that the four largest members of the European Union, the four largest European countries, are all headed by governments that are fairly sympathetic to Israel. Italy sometimes has and sometimes doesn't have, and of course their governments change like you change your shirt. They have elections quite often traditionally. But currently Berlusconi, yes, very pro-Israel, and also Sarkozy of France. Now France hasn't had a pro-Israel leader in decades. So he's pretty strongly for Israel and speaking out strongly about Iran, for instance. And then Germany normally has a government sympathetic to Israel in light of the Holocaust, and they do under Merkel now, and the Brits under Gordon Brown, not overly thrilled about Israel, but they are supportive, certainly. So that's a historic alignment, and the Israelis believe that may prove to be an important asset if, in fact, they do clash with Syria or with Iran or with both or with Hezbollah, whatever. And yeah, he made some strong statements, and Netanyahu responded, well, we're interested in that possibility of joining the EU. He's actually talked about that before, but realistically, analysts say it's not going to happen. There are many other countries in Europe that are not so thrilled with that idea, and some Israelis, of course, are very wary if they came under full EU membership. It would have economic advantages, but there would be more political pressure on them, not less, to hand over the eastern half of Jerusalem to the Palestinians and some other things that they really don't want to do.
David, I need to talk to you about the Herzliya conference that's been going on. This is a gathering of political leaders, military leaders, the media people, and the intelligentsia from academia who come together in a seacoast town in Israel, Herzliya. And they talk about the region and some of the current activities that are taking place. This last week, Ehud Barak, who is the defense minister for Israel, got up and made a statement about Syria, and he said that if indeed Syria does not come back to the negotiating table, it's going to be a tough situation, and they may even have some conflict taking place. Well, that was responded to by the foreign minister of Syria, who said, look, if there's going to be a war between Syria and Israel, we're going to bring it to your home front, and the Syrian Air Force will attack your cities. Now, I want to talk in just a few moments with Ronnie Levy. He's somewhat of an expert on the Syrian situation in the Golan Heights. But I'd like to have your perspective on this as well. Man, the saber rattling is being ratcheted up right now.
Well, they're trying today to ratchet it down. The Israeli government, various leaders have said, we don't want war with Syria. We want peace. Barak, in fact, himself stressed that. Netanyahu said yesterday, actually ordered all his cabinet ministers to stop commenting on the possibility of war with Syria, because it was also Foreign Minister Lieberman saying that if there is war, the Assad regime will be ousted. He said the son of the late dictator, Hafez al-Assad, Bashar Assad, will not remain in power if there's war. But, the statement from Barak was fairly strong. He said any sort of if we don't go forward with peace negotiations, we'll end up in, quote, all-out war. Well, he was stressing that he wanted peace negotiations, not that he wanted war. And, of course, as you said, the Syrian foreign minister or defense minister responding that that the missiles will strike all Israeli cities if there's war. And this comes as Israel is stepping up its distribution of gas mask kits, defensive kits. It was supposed to be distributed from late summer on, but they're now beginning to distribute them later this month. And so that's a sign of, you know, possible conflict. Jimmy, this really didn't start this week. It started several weeks ago when Bashar Assad accused Syria of preparing to attack Hezbollah. In fact, he said they're going to attack Hezbollah in Lebanon in May. He was that specific. And that was echoed by the Turkish prime minister telling visiting Lebanese officials that he had the same information. So tensions are high. There's no doubt about it. Reports that Hezbollah forces are learning how to man very sophisticated Russian-built anti-aircraft weapons systems. Other reports that they're smuggling other very advanced weaponry into Lebanon, and Israel is no doubt very concerned about that arms buildup from Hezbollah, and Syria then stating, we will actively support Hezbollah, actively. We'll get into the war if there is any conflict. And, Jimmy, this goes back to last November when we had the visiting Iranian defense minister and the chief advisor to President Ahmadinejad on defense matters visiting Damascus, and they reportedly signed a mutual defense pact agreeing that Iran will come to Syria's aid and vice versa if there's any action. So we're seeing a lot of indications there could be conflict. Real indications, and these statements from Syria were not welcomed. And of course, the foreign minister now is under political hot water, Lieberman, for having stated that, you know, the regime would be wiped out essentially if there is war. But he said today, look, we can't just sit back and be pansies. You know, the Syrians are making threatening statements against us and are threatening war against us, not the other way around. And I'm not just going to sit here as foreign minister and not respond. But the left wing in particular, left wing politicians in Israel have been blasting him, have actually been calling for Netanyahu to remove him as foreign minister. So it's set off a dust up, but it's not just this week. It's been going on for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely. David, give me about 30 seconds, if you will. There's a report that Israel has been training the Kurds. They would be the people in northern Iraq, and they're helping them to train their personnel in military activity and intelligence gathering. Is this probably a lead up to a possibility of using that area to get into Iran? And we've only got about 20 seconds now.
It could well be, but there's been an alliance with the Kurds. There is a Kurdish Jewish community in Israel. And, you know, Israel trains Singapore. They train American security forces and some things and all around the world. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. But where it will lead remains to be seen.
David Dolan is a man who, no matter where he may be in this world, and I imagine if I was to wake him up about 3 o'clock in the morning, David, don't worry, I'm not going to do that, but you could probably give me the latest coming out of the Middle East. He's on top of it all the time. He can run, but he can't hide. He's in Australia today as we talk with him. And, David, we so appreciate you being available, man. I know it's almost 24 hours difference, but thank you for being available, and thank you for giving us the insight you have.
You're welcome, Jimmy. You have listeners down here on the Internet.